It is January 29th, 2019, and we are starting Business 121 Financial Planning and Money Management. My name is Frank Paiano. We record all the presentations, and barring any technical difficulties, they go up on the website the next day. So if you miss a class, you can listen to it. There are also online presentations for the online students. If anybody wants to take this class online, they're free to move back and forth between the classes. Once you're in it for a couple weeks, then we can move you back and forth. There's no problem with that without having to deal with, I go to admissions and they know I do this a lot. So, let's get started. Let me introduce myself. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Why? Because I get to teach what I love and do for a living. They pay me to do this. I would do it for free. Tell them that. Okay? Because I live, eat, sleep, breathe this stuff. I have been a stockbroker now for over 20 years, an insurance agent for 13 years, been investing in stock and real estate for over 10 years now. No, not quite 10 years, almost 10 years. And I'm in the industry. I'm definitely plugged into the industry, and it's not perfect. There are definitely problems, but for the most part, we're all well fed, well clothed, well sheltered. For the most part, there are definite problems that we have to deal with. But capitalism might just be the worst economic system ever devised, except for all the others. Yeah, how's Venezuela doing? So we do our best to concentrate on the positive, and that's my job. I love bicycles. I hate cars. but anyway, bicycles. I have a wife who just retired, and she's basically wondering, when are you going to retire? I don't know. I don't want to retire. I love what I do. I have a son who's now no longer a son. I mean, he's still my son, but he's grand. He's big. He's taller than I am, and he's awesome. What else? My undergraduate degree is mathematics. So if you have any problems with your math classes, come see me in my office. We'll work them out. My calculus is still pretty good, but if you take the Diff EQ, I was not that great at the differential equations, but I can help you with algebra. My master's degree is MBA. So I started out as a programmer, scientific programmer, robotics, scientific search statistics, and all kinds of good stuff. And then eventually got a job at a brokerage firm doing models for the president, stock models, and got involved in investing. And so I got my MBA, got my broker's license, so I moved on over to there, and now I teach finance. Cool? All right. Also, I'm getting paid. So if you have a question, there are some students that just will never ask the professor a question. Well, for whatever reason, they get nervous or they don't want to bother them, please bother me. I can talk about this a lot longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. I can talk to you about finances, investments, we can talk about it for days, and we do. I do, at least. Nobody's listening. I can talk to myself. Okay, that's why I'm here. Why are you here? Anybody? And if you don't, somebody doesn't volunteer, I have to pick on you. Why are you here? Yes, sir. Your name again is?
Hello.
Alvaro, yes. Why are you here, Alvaro?
I'm pursuing a degree in finance. I want to get my MBA, and I want to start my own business.
Cool. That is awesome. So you're a finance major here?
I'm trying to transfer to San Diego State or Cal Poly. It's going to be a business administration with a minor in finance.
You'll be in big demand. State is an excellent business school. I know it's got a reputation as a party school, but no, it's a very good business school. So check it out. And any particular, do you have any particular peaks or niches that you're interested in? Corporate finance, municipal?
I want to start investing because I've been up for investment for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never actually gone to time.
Well, we're going to learn. We're going to learn, and you're still young. You got plenty of time. You have plenty of time. We'll see you on Thursday. That magic number is 25. If you can start earlier, great. But okay, here we go. Okay. Anybody else? Alvaro said he's here because he wants to get into the financial world. Anybody think about a career in finance? Oh, dear students, The salaries are, first of all, higher than the national average. You know, you're not breaking your back, although you might break your psyche, depending on your situation. But there is going to be a tremendous need for professionals. They need more women. They need bilingual. They need minorities. The industry understands that diversity is the key. If you're an insurance company here in the South Bay and you don't have anybody who speaks Spanish, you're losing business. Serious. If you're out in El Cajon and you don't have somebody who speaks Arabic or Afghani, you're losing business. So, you know, pinche Trump, forget about him. The world is global, and we have to adapt. And I think the younger folks seem to understand this and are not as afraid as some of the older folks. You should listen to my sister-in-law. Oh, my God. You don't want to hear what she has to say. It makes me sick. And she used to love Mexico. Funny. Now she's been brainwashed, radicalized. Anybody else? Why are you here? You got to pick on somebody. Your name is, again, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nicole. And why are you here, Nicole? Many people, I don't know where the money goes. Have you felt that?
Yes.
Well, after chapter 2, you're going to know where the money goes. You might not like it, but you're going to know. And awareness is the first step. Anybody here in the cheap seats over here? Why are you here, sir? Your name again is?
David.
David. Why are you here?
I suck with money.
Oh, okay. You've come to the right place. Good, because we're going to teach you, we're going to do our best to inculcate you. I like that word, inculcate. Wash over you. The strong habits that make for effective money management. And, you know, we have to be kind to ourselves. But as long as we do just a few things, we can screw up other things and still do okay. And we will screw up. And we're humans, right? We're not robots, some of us. Accounting majors. Okay, who did I insult? No accounting majors in here? Oh, okay, that's interesting. All right, so let's get started. We start, and some of you have already seen this, so I apologize. The folks in the morning class. By the way, there's room in the morning class. Introduction to Investments, where we basically concentrate the entire semester on stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and other types of other major alternatives, and we teach it as if you're going to go into the industry. And I tell you folks, there's a future for you. There's a lot of us old folks in the industry, and we're going to be dying or retiring soon. Both. Okay, it is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. Did you see this on Skunk News last night? Weasel News. Badger News. Coyote News. You know, it's Sean Hatery. Fox News! I'm sorry. Did you see this on Fox News last night? Because, you know, those liberals, they're going to destroy America. They want all those teeming Mexicans to rush across the border with their tacos. Let them come. I wonder if tacos think about me. Okay. When do you think this was written?
1800s.
She knew it. She knows it. It was written in 1847. Many people would say 1930s, Great Depression, 1940s, World War II, maybe after 9/11, maybe after the Great Recession in 2008. But it was written in the 1840s. What was going on in the 1840s? Come on, you history buffs. It hadn't started yet. In fact, we were just about ready to invade Mexico. But the Civil War was brewing. The North was industrializing, while what was going on in the South? Don't use that word. We use the term peculiar institution. Don't say that. And the nation was about ready to pull itself apart. Did they have serious issues in the 1840s? Yeah. Do we have serious issues now?
Yeah.
But equating serious with fatal so far has been wrong. In fact, the last 200 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. This is the best time to be alive so far. America is great. And if you don't believe me, I want you to read an historical novel. That's a book. Have you ever read a book? They're really cool, folks. You can get them at the library. You know what a library is? Library, it's a cool place. And they'll even help you download the book to your cell phone, so then you can read it anytime. And read an historical novel and learn how they ate, how they washed, how they went to the bathroom. A toilet is a wonderful thing. And so let them in. Come on in. Is the door locked? I'm sorry. Come on in. Plenty of room. Tell your friends and family to come on in. We got free beer tomorrow. Is the door locked? Okay. So read an historical novel from the 1740s or from the Middle Ages, where they used to build walls to keep people out. And so we are going to accentuate the positive because now... Oh, yeah, I'll pass them out.
Please.
Yeah, I'll take it right now. Okay. We are going to see that the last 20 years have been the most prosperous years in the history of the world. And barring we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, meteorite, tsunami, the next 20, 30 years should be even better. It's a great time to be alive. That's what I feel. We'll see. The news wants you to be afraid, be very afraid. But if you look at the overarching situation of the world today, more people as a percentage of the population of the world are out of poverty than ever before. And that's a great sign, not only for our standard of living globally, but also for people who invest. And so I'm optimistic, even with Pinchet Trump. Seriously. So we'll concentrate on the positive. So let's get started on personal financial planning and action. Now, who does not get one of these yet? Came in a little bit late, did not get one of these yet? Okay. Personal financial planning. Oh, we forgot to go over the syllabus. I cannot believe this. I have brain damage. Let's go over the syllabus. My apologies. We're all being recorded, right? Yes, I'm a dunderhead. I apologize. So let's go over the syllabus now. Oh, we'll worry about it later. Everybody got the syllabus? Oh, and I forgot to tell you, I can speak Spanish. Yo puedo hablar español como un pato. So if you have any questions in Spanish you want to ask them, I won't understand you, but somebody else will. He estado aprendiendo español por 25 años. I've been studying for 25 years, and finally I can speak a little bit. But I spent 10 days in Puerto Vallarta and 10 days before that in Zihuatanejo. Oh, I didn't want to come back. Especially when people say, it's really cold here. I don't want to go back. Okay. Introduction to financial planning and money management. Emphasis is placed on practical, personal, financial management concepts and skills. Everything we learn in here, everything we cover is practical. Now, it may not be practical for you because you're just starting out. You might not be ready to buy a house yet. You don't have kids. You don't need life insurance yet. And you certainly might not need any estate planning yet. But eventually, assuming you live long enough and you're members of the great American economic machine, everything we learn here is going to be practical. Are you going to be doing quadratic equations 10 years from now? Maybe. If you go into the sciences. But they're usually already done. You just got to type it into the computer and it spits out. Are you going to be discussing the influence of 19th century French Impressionism upon 20th century op art? Well, unless you're trying to score with that art student at the party. No, you're not going to be. Well, you're going to be dealing with what for the rest of your life? Money, right. So I believe, of course, every professor pleases. Everyone should take this class. Actually, I've had people say, yeah, Everyone should take this class. Go tell this curriculum instruction committee. They don't want to hear it. Okay, course content, goal setting, financial statements, budgeting and resource allocation, tax strategies, banking, cash and debt management, purchasing strategies, insurance, necessarily evil, and risk management, investing, my favorite part of the semester, and then retirement and estate planning. That's the whole semester, folks. Now, what's the book? Here's the book. Anybody buy it yet? You did? Where'd you get it?
Thrift Books.
How much? Here's our first financial lesson. Don't go to the bookstore and buy it new for $283 or whatever they're asking for. It's insane. This book is worth about $25 new, to me, in my humble opinion. I'm going to show you the website. If you really, really want the book, I'm going to show you where you can get it for $10, $5 online, and there's your first lesson, all right? But you don't really need it. This is college, so we have to have a textbook, don't you understand? It cannot be just a web source. Everything you need is on the website. You don't really need a textbook, but I'm not supposed to say that. What are they going to do, fire me? I'm going to retire anyway. You need a notebook. Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody except for you. No, I'm not picking on you. But you see these things right here? They're cool, but I'm going to give you copious handouts. You like that word, copious? It means a lot. I'm going to give you a lot of handouts. And if you have one of these things, it's very easy for it to fall out. So we have some three-ring binders here. Okay? If you want a three-ring binder, they're yours. People throw them away, and I collect them. So after this class, go take a few. I have a few more in my office. So come on in. Plenty of room. So a three-ring binder is useful because, notice, I'm going to give you plenty of these things, and then they're already punched, as long as I remember to punch them. So do get a three-ring binder. You also need a calculator. All you need is a 99-cent calculator. This one cost 99 cents. This was $1.47. I really splurged. You do not need, please don't use your smell phone, please. You do not need a calculator that can launch the space shuttle. You just don't need it. All you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. You don't need exponentiation. You don't even need squirt. Have you seen the button on some calculators? Squirt? I haven't figured out what that one does. But anyway, all you need is add. So go get a 99-cent calculator. Go buy five, right? Don't go to $5 one day. And instead of getting a coffee, getting five 99-cent calculators. Cool? All right. You also need organization, dedication, motivation, hard work, and... Wait, this is the wrong one. That's supposed to say jokes. The self-discipline is for the online class. So you guys have to show up, right? Some of you won't, but the online folks, they don't have to show up. And so what happens is after a couple of weeks, they go, oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. And then third week, and all of a sudden, oh, everything's due. The exam is next week. What do I do? Drop the class. So they need self-discipline. But you need jokes. Anybody got a good joke? Yeah. I didn't warn you. Okay. Did you hear about the alligator that walked into the bar? Yeah? Okay, so you can tell the punchline. Okay. So this alligator walks into a bar, right? You heard this one before? No, okay. And he orders a beer. Bartender gives him the beer, and the alligator's drinking his beer. And the bartender looks at him and says, are you having troubles at home? Any troubles with the wife? And the alligator says, no. And the bartender says, how about work? Is your boss giving you a hard time? And the alligator says, no. And the bartender says, well, then, why the long face? See, he's an alligator. You may have heard it with a horse. You may have heard it with the horse, because the horse has long legs. They get worse. You don't believe me, but they do. So bring good jokes. All right, now, that was a good look. Forget this guy. Attendance and lateness. Now, don't miss class. Don't come late to lecture. It's disrespectful to your fellow students. And you need to come to class. Make friends. Work together. The studies have shown that when students work together, they do better, believe it or not. So study groups and the like. Grading, do you all want to get A's? You do? All right. Well, that means you got to do your part, right? And so at some institutions, we're supposed to grade like this, right? We're supposed to have the normal curve, the bell curve, with lots of C's, a few F's, a few A's, and then middle the road B's and D's. But that's not the way it works out, at least at Southwestern. I'm not the only one who says this. What we tend to have is a bimodal, you like that word, isn't that cute? Bimodal distribution, where we have lots of F's and D's and fewer C's and lots of B's and A's. And why is that? Well, this stuff is not that hard, folks. Some of it's a little tedious, some of it's a little dry, some of it is things that you never even heard of, and yet you work with them all day. Sometimes you get other professors say, well, all you do is teach common sense. So, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? What are the liability limits on your automobile policy? And they go, I got full coverage. Wrong answer. No such thing as full coverage. They call it full coverage, but it's not full coverage. You're not fully covered. Never. No insurance company is going to do that. And so, go on them. Some of them have names, little letters next to their, like, PH and D. I haven't figured that one out yet. FUD. But these are the people who come to class remotely sober, relatively aware of their general surroundings. They do the assignments. They're not that hard, folks. They read the materials. They listen. Everything we record, all the presentations, commentaries, answer keys, worksheets, do the calculations. They're not that hard. And they get B's and A's, and some of them get lots of A's. And then these are the people who don't come to class, or don't, they come to class and they're not remotely sober. Too much fun last night. Or they get called away to Cancun because their uncle or their aunt needs help. They got an ingrown toenail or something like that. And what do the counselors tell you to do if you're getting a D or an F? What do they tell you to do? They tell you to drop the class, right? So this is what we wind up with. We wind up with something like that. And people say, you have grade inflation. Not necessarily. I taught a class once in programming class a long time ago. 28 students started, 14 ended, and 7 failed. And I gave them the F's. So I'm hoping all of you get A's. Will you do that for me?
Sure.
Will you work? Do your part? Study? No, she's looking at me like, no, I don't think so. Because if all of you get, I don't do this for every class, but if all of you get A's, I'm going to make a deal with you. All you get A's for the next 10 years, right? 2029. Every new person I meet, I'll shake their hands and say, hi, my name is Frank Pagnano, and every single person in my Business 121 Financial Planning and Money Management class, Spring 2019 class, got A's. Is that a deal? Deal. Please. Because nobody's done it yet. And this is probably my last semester. Teaching, I don't know, maybe not. We'll see. They're going to offer us this. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it because other professors are going to be talking about it. There's a lot of us old folks here. And they're going to be talking about the sweet deal that they're giving us to get rid of us. Okay, so that's the deal. Now, time requirements. Please realize that you have to do work outside of class. The general rule is 2 hours for every one credit unit, right? So 3 hours times 2 is 6. So about an hour a day. Review your notes, listen, do the assignments. It is not rocket science. It is not that difficult. But a little of it's a little dry, especially insurance. I hate insurance, but the necessary evil. Now, accommodations. If you have the slightest inkling that, you know what, I'm not reading things correctly, I don't see it well, I don't listen to it, I can't hear it well, I do these things don't work out, go see the DSS folks. They are awesome. They can help you. And as a, if this is a testimonial, I have dyslexia. I swap things around all the time. So you'll see me sometimes do that on the board. But it doesn't mean you can't be successful. In fact, some of the most successful people in history have had disabilities, like Leonardo da Vinci, who also had dyslexia. So. Academic Success Center. This place is awesome. You know where it is? We used to call it the Tutoring Center. That doesn't sound cool enough. Academic Success Center. And you will meet other students, tutors, who have the GANAS that Mr. Jaime Escalante talks about. They have the hunger to learn and to help other people. And the dirty little secret about teaching is that we learn more than you do. If you want to learn something, teach it. You will know it inside out. So trundle on up there. Forget the student learning outcomes. They're just there because somebody in Sacramento wants them. But how do you get in touch with me? Ta-da! I give you my home phone number, leave a message. There's an email. That's how most people get in touch with me. And we also have a office hours at 1 o'clock Tuesdays and Thursdays. Because we have the, right after this class, we have the college hour. And sometimes I have to go to stupid meetings. But if I don't have to go to meetings, I will stick around and help you. But at 1 o'clock, I will be in my office. We have on Thursdays the investment club. And this is a lot of fun. If anybody's interested, check it out. Pass this around. I'll remind you again because we get speakers and we discuss investing, careers, and investments. But Tuesday and Thursday nights, we have a virtual office that you can plug in with your cell phone or computer. It's like Skype. If you use Skype, it's teleconferencing, but it's a lot more powerful. So we can make it at any time. You know, send me an email, we'll make up a time. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's mostly for the online students that I never get to meet. You never get to meet. I met a couple of them. It was cool. One of the students from previous semester was in my morning class, and she said, she had her name, and she, oh, I know you, but you look that big on the on canvas. The person looks that big. You never really get to meet them. Okay? But what's the most important thing on this piece of paper that you're going to put in the back of your notebook and never look at again? Great. That's important, yeah. But the website. Okay. Can you remember Wonder Bread? Usually when somebody asks you a question, you say yes or no. Can you remember Wonder Bread?
Yes.
Can you remember Wonder Woman? Can you remember Wonder Professor? See, I spent days trying to figure out something that would piggyback on somebody else and get you to remember. Because all the easy ones are already grabbed. Okay, so the website is Wonder Pro. Oh, he remembers because we already typed it in. Professor.com. Not Professor Wonder, he's a balloon magician. But Wonder Professor. And there's my website. There's my better half. And there's my cool bicycle with a bitchin' stereo. Have you looked at Rate My Professors? I didn't want to look. You know, I didn't want to look. My office mate said, "Oh, look, they like you." I said, "Okay, I'll put a link on there." If you don't have Microsoft Office, you can get free software: OpenOffice, LibreOffice, Google Docs, which is very cool. That's what I use now. I use Google Docs, create PDFs, or used to use the Google Docs. And you, if you have a Google account, Google Gmail account, even if you don't have one, you can get one. They'll give it to you for free. You get to share your documents. They give you 15 gigabytes of space. It's really cool. And then this is what you're interested in right here. Business 121. There's a whole bunch of stuff down there that you can look at. Some of it's funny, some of it's scary. But this is what you're interested in. Financial planning and money management. And so we click on this guy, and here it is. Financial planning and money management spring 2019. This is mostly for the online students, but feel free to goof around with Google Docs. This is just something that will disappear in a little while. And then the textbook information, we'll look at that in a bit. That's at the bottom of the page. But if you ever want to know when the next exam is, where will you look? Where will you look? Everybody, you see, guys, you might think I'm crazy. You may be right. But when you answer me, when you actually verbalize it, the back of your head does things and you learn faster. Okay, so where will you look if you need to know when the next exam is?
Website.
Or Wonder Professor, yeah. Website's another good answer. We got to take both of those. Now, these are the announcements for the online students, which are also in Canvas. But you can look at them, and I have videos of them, and I wear silly hats. And these are from, this one's from Zihuataneo, and this one's from Puerto Vallarta. I like Zihuataneo better, but they're both beautiful. So, everything I give you in here is on the website. So if you lose it, you can't find it. Did you see what we just looked at? Let's hope it shows up. Dun, 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 dun. There it is. There's the, it didn't do this morning. This is the syllabus that we just looked at, right? When you call it up in Google Docs, it will be view only. That's because I'm the only one allowed to edit it. And so you can make a copy or download as. So you can't make a copy now because you're not signed in. I'd have to sign in one of my other Gmail accounts. But then you can make a copy, and in which case it's yours and you can manipulate it, do whatever you want with it. But if you download it, you can download it as a weird document. I'm sorry, worst document. Or one of the OpenOffice, LibreOffice or a PDF file or plain text and play with it, whatever you want. But what some people will do is they'll send me a message. So if you hit this share button, it's going to say, hey, you can't edit this. Send a request to Frank, and he'll give you access to it. Wrong. You have view access, so you can copy it, but I'm not going to let you edit my document. Does it make sense? Okay, so that's the website. And all the handouts, all here are the presentations you can listen to. You can watch them on your mobile device. The audio is not working on this device. It's on YouTube, 3C Media Solutions. It's on iTunes. This machine's, the audio is not working right now. So everything. Where is it? Or you could say website. Just remember. Now, here's what I was telling you about. If you want to have a book, and some people do, you don't need one, but I wouldn't use the first edition, but second, third, fourth, fifth, I think they're up to six now. Go on Amazon, half.com. I think half was rolled into eBay. It's gone now. I think I changed it on the other website. I got to go back and look. But you can get it for $10. How much did you pay? $5. No shipping?
Oh, $0.99.
$0.99, so $6. Yeah. It's worth it. Worth $6. It ain't worth $283, folks. This is not worth it. Oh, and what's this? What's that? That's the back button. You want to see it again? It's the back button. See what you're up against? Did I warn you? They get worse. Yes. Yeah, I made it myself. I use virtual notepad. I don't use WordPress or anything like that. I just hack away at it myself. I used to be a programmer. I used to be a long time ago. Now I got carpal tunnel. So I know. Yes?
So all the books pretty much are the same, except for one file.
Yeah, they're all the same. They change them every 2 years. I don't want to get into politics, but nothing's perfect, right? Capitalism is not perfect. And when you deal with the public, you're supposed to do what's in the best interest of the public, right? And so when you work in the public sector, your dedication, your shareholders, so to speak, are the public. Well, what happens in practice is that people in the industry, this happens in the insurance industry, in the brokerage industry, and in the book industry, people who work in the book industry will get into public positions and then advocate for situations that are not necessarily in the best interest of, in this case, the students. And so now we are required to have a college-level textbook, even though, through the magic of the Infernal Net, there are just tons of resources that are free, or maybe you have to pay something for them, but they're a hell of a lot cheaper than having a book that costs $283. But still, we are still required. Now, what they say to us is, oh, well, you could write a book and make it open access for anybody. Oh, yeah, right, sure, buddy, I'm going to do that. So then the people say, well, see, that's why we did it, and that's why it cost $283. There are some free textbooks out there that are available for use. And I think they put it on the Web Advisor now when they have a cheap book, right? Do you see that? I think they do. But the problem is they're mostly for classes that have thousands of students, not for this class, which doesn't have thousands. What can I say? Questions, thoughts, ideas? So where's the website? Okay. I'll tell you another joke. You better be careful. Okay, so let's get back to the slideshow. And our first slide. It is not money that brings happiness. It's lots of money. Is that true? That's what you think, isn't it? We'll see. We'll see. But as we get started on chapter one, you will see after the syllabus that every chapter has a study guide. all, here's your study guide. This is what you can make flashcards or what outlines. And all these terms are fair game. They'll be on the exam, in other words. However, every once in a while, you'll see something that says ignore this. For example, at the bottom where it says present value, we're not going to work with present value. It's more important in the next class, Business 123, Introduction to Investments, or the previous class. We learned quite a bit about present value. Here, we just look at it and say, okay, get rid of it. You know, it's not important. So you'll see situations like that where it'll say, yeah, ignore this for now. But all the other things, they're free game. They're fair game. All right, so let's get started with a definition, because this is college. And whenever you see something that's italics, you think it's going to be on the exam? Yeah. And don't have to scribble. Remember, everything's on the website. You can download it. These are in putrid point format. I'm sorry, PowerPointless. PowerPoint, right. They're in PowerPoint format. And the only reason they are still in PowerPoint format and not Google Docs is because there's one crucial thing they're missing that we need in our class. So, but you can download it into Google Docs. You can download it into LibreOffice, OpenOffice, or Putrid Point. And then copy it and paste it into a word processor. Do whatever you want with it. Personal financial planning is the process of managing your money to achieve personal economic satisfaction. Now, isn't that a strange choice of words? Are you satisfied with that? Would you choose that word? Satisfied with your economics, with your economic position? Well, that's the book's definition. And so that's not bad, actually. And here are a few others. The ability to use knowledge and skills to manage one's financial resources effectively for lifetime financial security. This is what, when I ask people, without showing them any of this crap, when I ask people, well, how would you define financial planning? They often use the word security or independence. The process of realizing more enjoyment from your income and improving one's standard of living while making adequate arrangements for a secure and comfortable retirement. People often throw the word retirement in there. And this is the life insurance industry's definition. The process of identifying assets, determining the classification of those assets in regard to both current and future needs, analyzing debt, expenses, and consumption patterns, reviewing the tax status, and addressing a host of other issues. Now, how would you define it? I mean, if someone said to you, well, what is financial planning? How would you define it? You don't have to be right. Because look, these three are fairly different, right? These three are fairly different. This one's strange. Nobody?
The ability to make wise money decisions throughout your life.
I like that. The ability to make good choices. And that's cool, because we're going to see that. That's a very good choice. I'm going to throw that out there in a bit. Okay, there are several advantages of effective personal financial planning. Increased effectiveness in obtaining, using, and protecting your financial resources. Increased control of your financial resources, affairs. A sense of freedom from financial worries obtained by being able to look optimistically towards the future. And I think this is very important. Why? Because it turns out that optimistic people are healthier, they live longer, they're happier, and they have better finances. Right? So the pessimists tend to not be as healthy. These are overarching generalizations. But you talk to the sociologists and their studies and the like. And they don't do as well financially, the pessimists. So I'm going to hopefully do my best to instill some sense of optimism in your future. Because sure enough, skunk news ain't going to do it. Right? Unless we go back to the 1950s where white people were in charge, mostly white men, then we're never going to be happy, according to Fox News. And that ain't going to happen. Sorry. Unless we find some way to genetically alter people so that only the brown people die when that virus goes out. And don't think that there aren't white supremacists working on it. And most importantly, and that's why I made it italic and bold, improve personal relationship. What's the number one reason for divorce in the United States of Armenia? What's the number? Right. That's the number one. Because you can't get divorced unless you get married. Well said. What's the number one reason for divorce after marriage? Money. You would think it would be hanky-panky, right? No, just ask the Clintons. Don't worry, we insult everybody here. Don't worry. No, we're equal. People say, you're prejudiced. I know, I hate everybody the same. Yes, money. And so we have to even think about this with regard to our relationships. How transactional. Sorry. We're going to develop a flexible financial plan. A financial plan is a formalized report that summarizes your current financial situation, analyzes your current needs. Where are we? What do we need? Recommends future financial activities. How do we get there? And that's our next presentation, goal setting. Your financial plan can be created by you, done with the assistance from a financial planner, using a money management software package. We're going to do a flexible plan. And so this is college, right? So we have to have rigor, and it has to be serious. So we have the financial planning process. Number one, determine your current financial situation. Two, develop your financial goals. Identify, number three, alternative courses of action, and evaluate your alternatives. Always in keeping in mind the choices, the opportunity costs, and the risks that you take. And then create and implement a financial action plan and write it down. And lastly, number six, reevaluate and revise your plan. Does anybody really do all this stuff?
Yes?
Yes?
No, not personally, but like my brother does. So.
Is he an accounting major?
No, but he was a business major.
I see. Yeah, there are people who do this, but they're not much fun at parties. No. Everybody else is out skinny dipping by the pool, and they're up in the room reevaluating and revising their financial plan. Here's a more realistic and typical financial planning process. Yeah. Number one, make money. Number two, spend it. Right. Number three, go out and make some more money. And number four, spend that and then spend a little more. Wait a minute. How do you make money you don't have? How do you spend money you don't have? Yeah. Go into debt. Number five, panic, and then take Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. Lots of anybody's have done this. So we're going to do flexible. What they want you to do at the end of this class, when you buy the book or not, they want you to have this notebook of all these pages that you've done. There are two documents that you absolutely, positively have to have on your refrigerator, on your desk somewhere. But the rest of them you can create anytime you need them, folks. And a few you might want to stick around, but we're going to concentrate on the two most important that we discuss next Tuesday. So, simply put, it comes back to what your name again was, sir?
Johnny.
Johnny. It all comes down to the choices we make and the opportunity costs of the choices. Now, have anybody taken economics? Yeah? Remember opportunity costs? It's a kind of hard thing to get your arms around, and people don't really understand it until it's starkly shown in their face. And we will show you that much later on. What is the opportunity cost of going with a bank versus bonds versus stocks? And so you'll see that later on. But it's what you give up by making a choice. I like the term trade-off because opportunity cost just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for people. It cannot always be measured in dollars. Sometimes it's your time or your health. And what we want you to do with major decisions, and even smaller ones, is think about the lost opportunities. Think about what other alternatives there are. And in the economics class, you'll debate there's no such thing as a free lunch. Have you heard that one? Is that true? There's no such thing as a free lunch? Somebody gives you a free lunch. Here's a coupon. Where do you like to go to eat? Subway. You go to, it's a free coupon for Subway, free sub sandwich. Is it free?
Not really.
Maybe not. What do you got to do? You might have to buy one, get one free. You might have to buy a drink. Maybe not. You still got to get there, right? That might cost you something. Plus, somebody else had to pay for it. So they like to say, so you're sitting here and manna from God hits you. pretty much know. What are the opportunity costs of attending college? What could you be doing now instead of listening to this goofball jump around the classroom? What?
Sleeping.
You could be sleeping. You could also be working, earning money. Why are you here then? Why ain't you out there working and earning money?
I already tried that.
How did it work out?
Yeah,
that's okay. And you're going to return someday, right? Okay. Well, many people attend college for various reasons, but you're told that you're going to earn money more if you go to college first, right? In general, that is true. It's not guaranteed, but in general, it's going to be true. Plus, you're going to be a better person, in my humble opinion, because some of us are goofballs here, the professors, but most of the people on this campus, and certainly when you get to the university, that's our life goal, is to make you better citizens, make you better people, because that's when you get a vibrant, exciting, and an economy and a country that cares about all its people. And that's why that's why elites and academics are hated by people like Pinochet Trump, who says he loves it, uneducated people. Okay, now, this is a little graph that tries to show you what happens when you balance your personal opportunity cost, your time, effort, your health, your financial opportunity cost, we'll talk about this later when we get to investments, versus the things that we are told we have to have, and some we do. Food, clothing, and shelter, and internet access. You have to have those, right? And there's this wonderful book that's now making a comeback. It was written in the 1980s. This gentleman has passed away, but she's still alive, and now she's become a cult hero by this group called FIRE. Have you heard about them? Financial Independence, Retire Early.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard about them? Well, this book was basically FIRE back in the 1980s. And there's a couple other books by the same name, so be careful. There's an online community called simpleliving.net that you can get involved in. And they say, look, folks, you give up your most precious asset, your time on this dirt, because you can't go back and do it again, right? There's no do-over, right? For the things that you believe you have to have, and some things you do have to have. And so they emphasize a very abstemious. You like that word? Abstemious means cheap, frugal. They go a little overboard, in my humble opinion. And so I don't know, kind of like being a vegan, you know. Are you a strict vegan? Well, some people are. Every once in a while, I want to go to Hodad's, folks. But I don't order the cheeseburger. I order the unburger. Have you been to Hodad's?
Yeah.
Order the unburger. It's basically a cheeseburger without the meat. I know, it's delicious. Ask him to grill the onions on the side. It's really cool. And it's greasy. And it's not vegan. Okay, so check these people out. Maybe you might get hitched. Well, hitched. You might get hooked. Okay, how are we doing for time? Not bad. Everybody want to stretch? Stretch? Come on, I'll tell you another joke. So stretch. Okay, you don't want another joke, right? I don't blame you. All right, so every financial decision involves evaluating risk. Now, risk is very difficult to measure. In fact, it's impossible to measure. But it's something we have to keep in mind. Inflation risk, rising prices. Interest rate risk affects the cost of borrowing, the rate of return. Income risk, you could lose your job. Personal risk, health, safety. Liquidity risk, not having enough beer for the weekend. No, sorry. The ability to sell your assets and get a fair price for them. And then these are all from the book, but I added this one. The culture of consumerism risk, which is die working and in debt up to your eyeballs risk, which some people think is what they want to do. I want to die with the biggest debt ever. The problem is you don't know how long you're going to live. That's the problem. If you know how long you're going to live, sure. You write that last check or make that last swipe and then have everything go red and then you're dead and they can't come after you. Can you guard against all risks?
No.
Yeah. That's what insurance is all about. Somebody out there will guard you against. You got to pay them. They don't do it for free. But their insurance, one woman, you ever hear of, I can't remember her name now, Barbara Streisand. Is that door not opening? Is that door locking?
Yeah.
It is? What the hell's going on with that door? It's not supposed to do that. Okay. She guarded against her nose going smaller. Barbara Streisand. She paid an insurance company. The nose ever got smaller, they would pay her. Okay. Implementing your financial plan. Developing good financial habits. Use a well-conceived spending plan to help you stay within your income while allowing you to save and invest for the future. Have appropriate insurance protection to prevent financial disasters, and become informed about tax and investment alternatives. Achieving your financial objectives requires you to have a willingness to learn and the appropriate information sources. And folks, it is an explosion out there. It is unbelievable how much information, some of it not very useful, but books, magazines, credit unions. You okay, sir? You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Courses, computer software, the infernal net is an inexhaustible supply. Be careful. Everything you read on the internet is true, right? Yes, of course. And then financial specialists, an entire army of people who are there to take your money. I'm sorry, help you achieve your financial goals. Taking this course is a great start. In my humble opinion, I have done my best to make this the best bet you have ever taken. That is my goal. We're going to talk about goals on Thursday. So if you have any complaints or suggestions, you give them to me because we want to hear from you. And then what are the influences on your personal financial plan? What's your situation? Marital status, household size, employment, the major events in your life, birth, adoption of a child, divorce, which is one of the worst things that can happen to you financially, bankruptcy. What are the ideas and principles you consider correct, desirable, and important? And then, one of the most important things is how old you are. Now, we can't say that, right? We have to use some college term like, where are you in the adult life cycle stage? Fancy way of saying how old you are. Never before has this happened. We've got 5 generations living next to one another. That's, I think people are living a lot longer than they used to, right? You used to have a handful of people living to 100. Now, your generation, it should be, de rigor. It should be very common for your generation to make it to 100 years old. Supposedly, the first person who's going to live to 150 has already been born. Now, we won't know that for another 100 and some odd years, but still, this is what's going on. Because the traditionalists, the mature, sometimes called the greatest generation, have you ever heard those terms used? These are people who were born before 1946. Yes, there were people before 1946. Believe me. They're still around. My mother just passed away. She was one of them. What were the effects? What affected them more than anything else? There are people alive who can tell you that they went to bed hungry. Do you ever go to bed hungry? You have? Some people have. Especially when they're trying to get into that jeans or shirt. No, but in our society, we are bombarded with thousands of images to eat, and so it's all there. And they lived through World War II, and their institutions, their government, their other institutions got them through the Great Depression, World War II. They are sometimes called the traditionalists, the matures. They are loyal, almost to a fault. And now there are people trying to rip them off because they get in good with the old folks that are in their 80s and 90s, and they can be easily scammed. So if you have any great-grandparents, grandparents, be careful, talk to them, make sure if they find some shyster, a very nice guy in a three-piece suit trying to sell them something or that they bounce it off at somebody else. And then the next generation, you might have heard of the baby boomers. No baby boomers in here, except for me. I'm the only baby boomer. And that's right. We were born between 1946 and 1964. Obama was a baby boomer. Trump is a baby boomer. Bush was a baby. The younger Bush was a baby boomer. And we were born after World War II. We have a very different view of the universe. We don't trust the government. Why? Because 54,000 of our compadres were sent to a war that was based on a lie. You ever hear of Vietnam? It was a lie. The North Vietnamese never fired on the United States Navy. It just didn't happen in the Gulf of Tonkin. And that was the reason we got into the war. Supposedly the reason was that they wanted to stop the communists, but the other side, the South Vietnamese, were just as corrupt as the communists. So which side do you pick? And so we didn't trust you. In fact, we used to have a saying, don't trust anybody over 30. That was the saying, don't trust anybody over 30, because they're going to send you to war. And what were the effects? What were the things that affected our generation the most? Some of you, I know you younger folks, millennials, are not too much into history. I love history. That's right, civil rights. The women's rights, gay rights. In 1966, the first gay rights march, the people put bags over their heads. That's how frightened they were. That's how frightened they were that they were going to be ostracized, maybe even thrown in jail. Because every once in a while, the police would go through and just round up gay guys, faggots, beat them up, throw them in jail, and then the next day release them. That's, see? Nothing's perfect, right? And we still have serious problems, but, you know, some things get better. And what else? What was cool? Now, you guys take it for granted. Rock and roll! Sex and drugs and rock and roll! You see, rock and roll now is mainstream. That was the Gen Xers that did that. But for us, rock and roll was our way to rebel. That was our way to rebel. Do you know, you don't believe me, but Elvis... Right. Yeah. But the guy who started Elvis, what was his name? Sam, I forget his name. He said, if I could find a white guy who could sing like a black guy, I'm going to make a million. And he found Elvis. And on television, they were not allowed to show Elvis
below the waist.
Because his hips were obscene. Vulgar.
You know, they call it erotic.
Erotic. Exactly. Supposedly, women screaming at Elvis, screaming at the Beatles, were having orgasms.
And you weren't allowed to be pregnant
on TV. No. You weren't even allowed to say the word pregnant on television. And you see, so we were fighting. We were saying, let's spend the night together. Oh, baby, that's what I like. Now I need you more than ever. All day and all the night. Anybody like the Kinks? I like the Kinks. Mm-hmm. That song, Lola, about a transvestite, that was a big deal. Some radio stations wouldn't play it by the Kinks. So we are the exact opposite of the matures. We don't trust you. We don't believe you. And then along come the Gen Xers. And notice, these guys are dying out. Notice the Gen Xers. This was, they sometimes call them the baby bust. Any Gen Xers in here? Any Gen Xers?
I missed it by a year. I do not identify as a millennial.
So you're a Gen Xer. What were the effects, the major effects of Gen Xers? What were the cultural and events that affected Gen Xers?
There was a recession. There was a lot of disillusionment. Lots of student loans. I don't know
about that. Well, student loans, well, yeah, but you guys got student
loans.
We were
the first one.
Yes, that's right. The Gen Xers were the first generation to get royally screwed. Yes?
And if they have massive mental institutions, the Reagan?
They were, all the people were kicked out of the institutions. Right, Reagan. AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Wasn't that more common in the UK, though, because the UK had a bigger gay population?
No, it was pockets. There were pockets. But it's throughout the population. I mean, it was... The conservatives didn't even want to say the word condom. They called it the C word. So see, if you got in trouble, you know, you go get the doctors, they give you a shot of penicillin, it's all over. But now, you could die. And people were dying. And MTV. Does anybody actually watch MTV anymore? Is it still on television? It's not on anymore? How dare you! How dare you make rock and roll Main Street? Now it was played at Super Bowls and presidential elections and Christian rock. Now that was, I had a hard time with that. Rock and roll is about sinning. I don't want to listen to no Christian rock. So they turned us on our heads. And they got royally screwed because there are a whole lot less of them. They got royally screwed by the Great Recession. Because this was the time for them to be buying houses at a time when housing prices just skyrocketed. And then the bust came. They got royally screwed. They were the first generation of latchkey kids that were told, "No, you're on your own now. We're both working. We have to go self-identify and actualize. We both have to work." I always had mommy at home because daddy would go home, go to work, and fondle the secretary, and mommy would stay home and take Valium and beat the kid. So Gen Xers, they're the ones that got royally screwed. Now, most of you are millennials, right? Most of you are millennials. They're also called the digital generation, Gen Y. I love this generation. It's so easy as you get older to look at, because you're not the same as we are, so obviously you're not as good, right? To look at younger generations and say, "Well, they're not like we are." Well, what did you think? We would never listen to our parents' music. Are you kidding? I don't care how good Frank Sinatra is or Rosemary Clooney. Forget it. It ain't going to happen. You see millennials walking around with Frank's, I don't see too many Sinatras, but Beatles and B-52s and Leonard Skinner. I was totally blown away. This is about 10 years or so ago. I saw this Latina, about 18, 19 years old, young, walking around with a Leonard Skinner t-shirt. I said, "Do you really listen to Leonard Skinner?" She said, "Oh yeah, they rock." I said, "Oh, give me 3 steps, give me 3 steps." I mean, I was sick the day that they died. Half the band died in a plane crash. I was sick. And yet, your generation, no restrictions. Everything is open to you. You have tools that we can only dream of, that we saw in Star Trek and Star Wars. You know, now they're here. We had to steal our father's Playboy. Did you get? No, I think my mom's hit it. I can't find it. What do you do? High speed internet. Up in your room. Lock the door. What are they? Oh, that's interesting. And I am thoroughly convinced that the next 20, 30 years, you're going to do things that now seem impossible. Are you taking any classes in foreign languages? Anybody? Don't bother. 5, 10 years from now, you put this thing in your ear. What?
Babelfish.
Whatever, you know. It's not good yet. I mean, you see people playing back and forth. They hand the phone and they talk. Eventually, it'll be in your ear, whether it's hooked up to your phone or whatever, it's by itself. It will automatically determine what language that person is speaking, automatically translate it for you. Think about how the world is going to change when we can actually understand one another. It's going to happen. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe longer, because language is pretty tough, right? Because you've got culture involved. But it's going to happen. We are going to cure cancer. Do you believe me? It's happening. You heard of chemotherapy? You don't want chemotherapy, folks. The chemo will kill you if the cancer doesn't. But now we have immunotherapy, which has various forms. But one of them is really cool. They take your blood out. They train your killer T cells. Now, I think it's leukocytes, right? Any biology people? Not lymphocytes, leukocytes. They train the killer T cells to determine that tumor is something bad. Because cancer's smart. You know, cancer says, "Hey, we're not part of the, we're part of the body. Don't bug us." And so you train your own immune system. Put the blood back in, the T cells multiply, and say, "There's a tumor in here." And so the person goes through the worst cold they've ever had. Because that's the symptoms you feel. That's your immune system doing that to you. They feel like they're going to die for 2 weeks. The tumor's gone. Now, it's in its infancy. Give us 5, 10, maybe more years. But we're going to cure cancer. Now, I don't know. Anybody lose anybody to cancer? I have. It is a horrible way to die. I do not want to die of cancer. And after seeing other people, if I get a terminal cancer illness, I know what I'm going to do. Give me the drug. Let's go to have our little our vision of heaven on the big screen and then take it. But hopefully by then they'll have it figured out. Driverless cars.
They're here.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, you see somebody sleeping in front of a Tesla wheel, you should smack them because they even test. They shouldn't call it autopilot. They should call it driver assist or something like that because it's not autopilot yet. But in 5 to 10 years, maybe a little longer, maybe shorter, who knows, you won't need a car. You just won't need one. Maybe you want one. I know people who are pissed off about it. I want to drive. I love driving. I hate driving. And you notice all the maniacs on the road and idiots? Yeah, the maniacs are the people who are going faster than you, and the idiots are the people who are going slower than you. There's an awful lot of maniacs for me, because I'm pretty darn slow. But there's an awful lot of idiots for other people who want to go fast. And sorry. Because you know what? That driverless car is going to drive like your old grandmother. It's going to be slow. It's going to take its time. It sees a pedestrian. It's going to slow down. Oh, well. We'll have fewer deaths. Is it worth it? I don't know. I want to get to work 2 minutes earlier. I want to get home 2 minutes faster. And then, what's the next generation? What do you think? What?
Gen Z.
Gen Z. What do they call it? Gen Next. I don't know. They don't have a name yet. That's really popular. Yeah, that's important to have a name. But I don't think it's important. But what I think is so cool is you see a two-year-old and go over to his mother and kind of bat her, and she gives him his tablet. And I still can't get that damn thing to work. And I'm blown away. I'm excited. I'm very optimistic. And I'm old, right? I should be yelling, hey, you guys aren't like we are. Why should they be like we are? So this is what I saw on a T-shirt of an SDS student. Good. Better. Best. Guys, can you relate? No? Oh, no, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Think of how much time you spend in making whoopee and how much time you on your video games. Right? If you had a choice now, either you can have whoopee or video games. Think hard. Because very soon, the video game is going to be making whoopee. Very soon. We got the electronics. We got the artificial skin going on. We got the robotics. They already have a few. You don't like that idea. Don't worry. The female version will be very different. The female version will be, yes, dear, how was your day? We have dinner ready for you. Let's relate. No? It'll do the dishes for you. Yes, that's all. That's what I want the robot to do. You got a dishwasher? No, it doesn't do a good job. I want the robot to do the dishes right. It's coming. And by 2050, people are going to be marrying their robots.
Are there people marrying trees?
Marrying a tree? Interspecies? I know people who want to marry their dogs. But, I mean, we don't know because, you know, we've got another 30 years. But think about what happened 30 years ago, folks. So 30 years ago, the Internet wasn't even around. I mean, it was, but it was not unleashed upon the public. So 20, 30 years from now, you're going to be marrying your robots. Cyborgs, whatever you want to call them. Are you excited about them? I probably won't be around to see that. But if you ask a baby boomer, where were you when JFK was shot?
They know.
So if you ask a baby boomer, who's the only baby boomer in here? Thank you. Yeah, thank you for asking. I was in first grade, and my teacher, Miss White, who I was madly in love with, when we came back from recess, was crying hysterically, uncontrollably. Or, you know what the hell was going on. The principal came in, said the president had been shot, we should go home. And we're like, cool. See, at that time, I would have given a vital part of my anatomy to have a 24-hour cartoon network You see, when I was in first grade, they only had cartoons on Saturday mornings. And they got rid of them the week that the president was shot for the funeral. Was I pissed? Now, how many 24-hour cartoon networks do you guys have?
4?
4 or 5 of them? Yeah. I would give a different part of my anatomy for that 24-hour female companion, so my wife would have some rest. But it ain't there yet. I'm always about 30, 40 years behind the times. But it's going to happen. I'm excited. Cool? The future's cool, folks. And we have more women in charge. Is that cool? I'll show it to you. I won't die. So, what are some of the other... how are we doing with time? Not bad! I know when it gets to me 5 minutes. Like, okay. Okay. Here are some economic factors. Supply and demand. Supply and demand. That's what you get when you teach a parent how to say supply and demand. You get a learned economist, economics professor. Production costs, competition, the influences of the Federal Reserve Bank, the people who control our money supply, the financial markets, the exports and imports, and other economic conditions such as consumer prices, consumer spending, interest rates, money supply, unemployment, housing starts, gross domestic product, how much we produce. The trade balance or imbalance is very important to pinch and Trump. The budget deficit, financial, look, does any of us have control over these things? Do any individual have control over these things?
And our reactions, too.
We have our control over our reactions. But in a real sense, you do. You have the same amount of control as the drop of water to the flood. If you went to the drop of water and said, did you just cause this flood? What would the drop of water say? No. I'm a drop of water. What are you talking about? I didn't cause the flood. But obviously, a flood is... And so you are that drop of water. By learning how to make good decisions, as Gianni said, by learning how to make good decisions and bettering yourself, you are bettering all of us. And that is my goal. My goal is to make you get out there and get rich, do really well for yourself, and make it better for everybody else. Cool? So these are the things that we do have control over. In chapters 1 and 2, we will learn about planning, budgeting, cash flow, net worth. Chapter 3, taxes, everybody's favorite subject to hate. Saving, borrowing, spending, insurance, managing risk, and then my favorite part of the semester, investing. And then we'll end with real estate and estate planning. So are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Now. You don't want to miss Thursday. Okay? You don't want to miss Thursday because we're going to learn about goal setting and how you can become very wealthy. Cool? All right, so now I'm going to let you go a little early, okay? You don't feel cheated? You don't feel like I'm stealing your day? Because I want you to feel like getting your money's worth. So those of you who want to add, have questions, come on up, and we'll give you the ad codes, and we'll see you on Thursday. Make sure you bring a 99-cent calculator. Okay, let's get this thing turned off.